Hello, queers. You're listening to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez. And on this episode, we're continuing to explore one of the top television shows of 2018, as deemed by Lucy Mangan at The Guardian. This is episode 2 of a continuing series. And if you haven't heard last week's episode, I greatly suggest that you pause me now, go listen to the first episode of this series, and come back. Thank you. On this episode, we are exploring season 2 of Killing Eve. Killing Eve, Season 2, released back in 2019. It's a British-American drama and dark comedy series based on the novels Codename Villanelle by Luke Jennings. Show created by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Season 2 is mostly written by Emerald Fennell, starring Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer. Here's the trailer.
Sometimes when you love someone, you will do crazy things.
If she's alive, you need to find her before she finds you.
I know her better now. Better than anyone. Better than she knows herself.
Say it, spit it out.
Shh. Why are you and Villanelle so interested in each other?
She wants me to know when she's killed someone.
She's behind that door!
Do you want to play a game?
Can I take a picture of you for my Instagram? No.
You look like someone stuck a mustache on some fudge.
Help!
Stop it, Eve. I can feel your excitement.
Once again, we're exploring season 2 of Killing Eve in this episode. And if you haven't watched season 2 or season 1 yet and you absolutely hate spoilers, you've been warned. I will be recapping the season and giving my final thoughts at the end of the episode. So we open up season 2 right where we left off. Eve had just stabbed the shit out of Villanelle right in the stomach. And she was able to dodge a couple bullets from a frustrated, bleeding out Villanelle. And when the bullets stop coming her way, she comes out of the cover to see that Villanelle has left that cool Parisian apartment that she was living at. 30 seconds later, Eve is coming down the steps of the apartment building, aiming to leave, mind you, still holding the bloody knife that she used to stab Villanelle in plain sight, by the way. But as she's coming down the steps, she sees that a group of suspicious paramedic people enter from below. And you know that these people are suspicious AF because one of them takes out a gun. Now, as far as I know, paramedics don't usually wield guns. Do they? Can somebody tell me that? I would appreciate it. Eve conveniently hides in a storage closet in the hallway and witnesses the paramedic people shoot someone from above. Now, this person was important, but not really, so we can move on. Quickly escaping the apartment building, Eve runs away somehow. She happens to pass this garbage dumpster locker of some sort where Villanelle was actually hiding. And we know this because of the bloody handprint that's on the side of the door to enter this storage place. Now, Eve doesn't see this, of course, but we do. Villanelle watches the killer paramedic crew carry the body of the old lady from the building who got shot earlier, and she overhears them telling whoever sent them over the phone that there's a lot of blood in Villanelle's apartment and that she probably won't get far. Too bad for them, Villanelle does hear them. And if these idiots can't look in the simplest of places, like a closet in the hallway of a building or a dumpster storage place in the courtyard of that building, they won't find her. Spoiler alert. So Eve is walking around the city of Paris in somewhat of a daze. She goes ahead and visits a candy shop and fills up her bag with sweets. Now, this looks like a regular Saturday for me, so kidding. She fights a kid in the shop for a gumdrop. She hasn't even washed her hands yet. I mean, could she be feeling guilty for possibly killing Villanelle and ruining a lovely moment for us viewers? Sure. We next see her at the train station, possibly the Gare du Nord, and she is trying to take a train back to London. Now, she is stuffing her face with this candy that she bought from before. Again, this is me whenever I travel, so I don't see the problem. She realizes that she still has that knife in her pocket when she tries to go through security. So she escapes to the bathroom to dump the bloody weapon somewhere. And when she comes back in line, she gets yelled at by the French TSA guy and everything is fine. She takes the train back to London. Now, back in Paris, Villanelle is bleeding to death and she's desperate to get help and tries to pull over a car or two on the street, but most of them ignore her. And here I thought that New Yorkers would not pull over for a dying person on the road. Well, Paris is just as worse. Left with no other choice, she throws herself in front of a speeding cab and she pretty much gets run over, possibly worsening her wound. It works though, because now the cab driver's taking her to the hospital. But don't worry, y'all. She lives, of course. Back in London, Eve gets a visit from Carolyn, who asks her what happened in Paris. Eve lies and says that Villanelle wasn't there. She wasn't at the apartment. Now, Carolyn knows she's lying, but whatever, she lets it go. She needs Eve to explore another assassin that's come up recently. This excites Eve, of course, because here she thought that she was fired a few days ago. And look, Carolyn's like, psych, we need you. We need you and your female assassin expertise slash obsession. Back at the hospital in Paris, Villanelle escapes eventually because she's over it. She wants to find Eve. And she told the boy who she was sharing the hospital room with that Eve stabbed her because she loved her and she didn't mean to kill her. God, Villanelle is such an optimist. Goals, really. Then she kills the poor kid. Not goals, but Villanelle sneaks out of the hospital and into the trunk of a family who's driving back to England from France. Now, Villanelle has no money, no food, and is in desperate need of some antibiotics. And she still got that stab wound, so I don't know. I know she is escaping from the 12, who is also trying to go out to kill her, she suspects, from not killing Constantine in the last episode. Now, she is able to convince a local man that she's in an abusive domestic situation so that he can take her in. And this guy's name is Julian. And Julian seems sweet and nice and an easy prey. Well, this Julian turns out to be a different type of psychopath, okay? Because he keeps this large collection of dolls in his home and he intends to keep Villanelle in there as one of them because he triple locks the doors so she can't get out from the inside. And he does not get her any medication, so this man seems to be a lunatic in his own way. I think he wants to kill her without meaning to. Well, Villanelle eventually kills him. She does eventually kill Julian, escapes this abusive creepo, and gets picked up by another handler of the 12. This time, this guy named Raymond. And he's not so nice. I'll say that. Back in London, Eve has been assigned the search for this new assassin. She has a new crew, except for Kenny, who's still there. And Eve sees that this assassin is the exact opposite of Villanelle. This assassin is discreet, humble, perhaps even nice in her killings. She tries to make sure that the victim doesn't suffer as much. And her team is figuring out why a very rich man, Alistair Peel, who's this gajillionaire, let's say, was assassinated along with a bunch of people that were close to him, like his secretary and his nephew and some other people in his family. Except for his two adult children, one of them being Aaron Peel, who is now the head of his bajillionaire company. Villanelle, who is also in London on an assignment, is kind of stalking Eve and Nico. Can we just admire her episode 3 outfit though? She looks like a total boho witch. It's the vibe, it's amazing. Anyway, In this episode, she also tries to get close to Nico's colleague, Gemma, who's a teacher at the high school where Nico teaches, and who's very obviously in love with Nico. In this episode, we also see my favorite outfit that Villanelle wears. It's this lion pattern blazer with silver flashy pants. I apologize for the shitty description. I am not a fashion person, but I can admit when someone looks amazing and damn good, and she looks great in this outfit. And I looked it up online, and it's like thousands of dollars for every single piece of clothing that she was wearing. So anyway, moving on. Speaking of flashy, Constantine appears. Hey, can we call him flashy? I think he's a bit flashy. Prove me wrong. But he does appear, and he picks up Villanelle, takes her away from Crazy Raymond and the 12's grasp, and convinces her to do freelance, which I guess it's a casual way of saying assassination jobs from the common folk, I guess. And he tells Villanelle that Eve is no longer interested in her and that she cares more about this new assassin, this new discreet, carefully humble assassin than Villanelle, which is a total lie, if y'all didn't know. Eve and her MI6 crew head on over to Aaron Peel, the living son of that gajillionaire Alistair Peel, who died. And he's a complete tool. He dismisses them. He doesn't really seem like he cares about who killed his father and who is killing all of these people that were close to his father. It makes us wonder, did he order the hit on his dad? I mean, who knows? Now we are in Amsterdam, and Villanelle is doing her freelance assassination gigs, and she's just hoping to catch Eve's attention in London. But sadly for her, everyone is trying very hard to keep them apart. And by everyone, I mean everyone. Constantine, Carolyn. Everyone is trying to make sure that these two don't run into each other. And Villanelle's very upset because he or she thinks that Eve really doesn't care about her. So she even takes some drugs to take her mind off of Eve and Eve possibly ignoring her. It was a crazy scene at a nightclub somewhere in Amsterdam. Back at Eve's MI6 life, they eventually find out who the assassin is, this discreet, cool assassin, but they can't get her. Oh, it's a her, by the way. They can't get her to talk. They can't get her to tell them who is the one that's ordering these hits. So Eve comes up with this brilliant idea to hire Villanelle to murder her, Eve, so she can get her to work with MI6 and dig up more dirt on who killed Alistair Peel and the people surrounding him. Honestly, I think this is just a ruse so Eve can see Villanelle again, of course, but sure. Great idea, Eve. So Eve and Villanelle reunite at Eve's house, and Villanelle is dressed in all black, and she tells Eve, "I'm about to be in mourning." Eve says, I'm sorry to hear that. And Villanelle notices that Eve is not surprised to see her, and she says that, to which she tells Eve, you know, "I've been sent here to kill you." And Eve is like, "Yeah, I'm the one that hired you." And after Villanelle plays a prank on Eve, you know, pretending that she gave her some type of like arsenic or cyanide or something, and some chaos ensues, the two begin to work together. We also find out that the creepy, fucked up son of Alistair Peel, Aaron Peel, the one that seemed like he didn't give a shit about them, he was the one that ordered the hits on his father. So, shocker. So for the rest of the season, we see this less of a cat and mouse game between Villanelle and Eve, but more of a who has the upper hand game. Villanelle joins MI6 in this mission to find out why Aaron Peel killed his father and what he's trying to sell from his company. By the way, it's information. His company has some software or chip or something that allows him and anyone who owns it to just look at every single private thing of anyone's life ever. I mean, from what you eat in the morning, how you brush your teeth, to the porn you watch. I mean, it's like the nosiest fucking thing ever. So the mission is for Villanelle to find a way to get close to Aaron to get over to Italy where he'll be selling this weapon. Why is it Italy? I don't know. After Villanelle gets close to Aaron's sister, Amber, Aaron gets all weird and probably jealous and basically wants to steal Villanelle for himself. By the way, Villanelle is in disguise. She's an American named Billy, a reference to Eve's best friend, Bill, who she killed back in season 1. So Billy, AKA Villanelle, gets very close to Aaron and he ends up inviting her to Rome. Yay. Eve and Hugo, a guy from her MI6 team, travel to Rome as well to keep an eye on the situation. But throughout the trip, they both start to notice that Villanelle slash Billy is getting very close to Aaron. And they're both disgustingly twisted. Aaron keeps surveillance on Villanelle in her bedroom. He had her suitcase removed when she traveled on over to Rome and gave her pretty much a whole new wardrobe with everything that she could ever need. And he also controls what she eats, what she wears, how she wears it. If he doesn't like what she's eating, he asks her to spit it out in front of him. I mean, this guy is a control freak to the fucking extreme. Like, it's crazy. One morning, Villanelle sneaks into Aaron's office and she sees that he keeps a camera in her bedroom, but also that he has a video collection of other women who were in that bedroom once, like her. And then these women were murdered. Like, they were stabbed to death from some masked person, which could be Aaron, could be someone Aaron hired, who knows. Now, all of these videos are on Aaron's computer, and Villanelle is not freaked out at all by this, it seems, but maybe intrigued. So things get a little weird when Villanelle, disguised still as Billy, recognizes one of the buyers that's coming to visit Aaron. The buyer is Raymond. If you guys remember, that's the creepy handler that she escaped from earlier in this season. So she uses the MI6 code word gentleman to signal to Eve that there's trouble coming. Eve, worried, sends Hugo out and stays in the hotel room to keep an eye on the situation. And a few seconds later, she hears gunshots out in the lobby, and which ends up being magically empty. And she sees that Hugo is now bleeding on the ground, but he's alive. And she leaves him there to go find Villanelle because she thinks that Villanelle needs rescuing. But she forgets that Villanelle is this trained assassin and she could easily take down Aaron if she wanted to. But okay, she needs rescuing. Eve eventually gets inside of Aaron's house and sees Villanelle and Aaron on the table, laughing, conversing casually. And Aaron is surprised, but also not really, when he sees Eve. And Villanelle greets her warmly, exposing her true identity, her Russian accent. And Aaron just becomes even more like intrigued or turned on by Villanelle's true accent. And he is so enamored, I guess, I don't know, that he asks her to stay with him. He's like, stay with me and you'll never be bored. Eve will bore you. You will be forever entertained in my life of watching people. Now, Villanelle is such a good actor, I think, because for a second, it seems like she would take the offer to stay with Aaron and to kill Eve like he eventually requests her to do. But instead she kills him. And the two of them, Eve and Villanelle, they decide to escape the house. And Villanelle tells Eve that, you know, they need to make a run for it because the 12, that organization, they're sending Raymond, the crazy handler, over, and he's going to eventually kill them both. He's not going to show them any mercy. Eve says that she needs to get back to the hotel to pick up all of the recorded audio that they collected on Aaron and that she'll meet Villanelle in a moment. Now, when Eve gets back to the hotel, she finds it empty. She's like, what the fuck? Why is it empty? And then there's a knock on her door and it's Carolyn, surprising the hell out of Eve. And we find out that Carolyn betrays Eve, or she betrayed Eve and Villanelle, because MI6 knew what was going to happen eventually. They knew that the 12 was one of the clients that were going to try to buy this information off of Aaron, and they were willing to sacrifice Eve and Villanelle in the process. Just outside, Villanelle is trying to grand theft a car for both her and Eve, and she stumbles upon Constantine, who gives her this fresh set of car keys to this like really nice sports car and tells her that, hey, here's the car. You should try to leave now. And Villanelle is like, okay, cool. I'm going to go wait and get Eve But then Constantine tells her, no, you can take the car, but you can't take Eve with you. Now, Villanelle is upset. She's like, screw this. She declines the car offer and goes back to the hotel to find Eve, but then runs into Raymond, the psycho handler. After a bit of a struggle, they get into it, they start fighting, and with the help of Eve, eventually, they kill Raymond with his own axe. And this is Eve's first kill. So she is, once again, like the first episode of this season, she's in shock. Now they're both running away from the hotel. They're dodging the goons that are probably hanging out outside trying to look for these two. And Eve and Villanelle fall upon this beautiful Italian ruined place, which is actually called the Hadrian Villa. It's a ruin that's about 30 miles outside of Rome in Italy, if you guys want to go visit it in real life. There, Eve finds out that Villanelle had a small handgun the entire time, but it was just hidden in like her waist pocket or something. And Eve asks Villanelle, why didn't you kill Raymond with the gun that you had? Like, you could have taken him down. You didn't need me to kill him. And Villanelle says, no, but you had it under control. It's fine. And now Eve is pissed because Eve realizes that Villanelle wanted her to kill Raymond, and Eve is done. This is the straw that broke the camel's back, because she starts walking away from Villanelle, deciding that she's going to go back home, and Villanelle tells her she can't leave her because Eve belongs to her. Okay. And Eve ignores her, keeps walking away, and then Villanelle shoots her. From 0 to 100 all the time. Next, we see Villanelle walking away from the ruins and Eve on the ground, not moving. We may assume that she died in that moment or something. And that's the end of Killing Eve season 2. So this season is written by someone else. My understanding is that season 1 was mostly written by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and season 2 is written by Emerald Fennell. I noticed the pacing differences in these two seasons. It's not that I didn't like this season, I just didn't like it as much as the first season. But there were a lot of things that I did enjoy of season 2. So a couple things that I want to mention that stood out to me. Number one, Villanelle and the parallels of being this live-in doll. Earlier in season 2, we meet Julian, you know, that guy, that man who let Villanelle stay with him in England for a few days. He had this creepy collection of dolls and intended to keep Villanelle as one of them. Well, later in the season, you have Aaron Peel, who is pretty much doing the same thing, but I guess it could be in a more attractive way, given that he's younger, better looking, and rich as fuck, and access to all of Villanelle's favorite things like clothing and food and surveillance footage. I don't know. It's insane. And the fact that he tells Villanelle that she should stay with him so she'll never be bored again. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine anything more boring than my life being controlled by a man 24/7. I think that's probably one of the most boring things ever. Another thing that stood out to me, going on Reddit, there was a lot of confusion or a lot of questions in regards to why Gemma, Nico's colleague, and maybe Amor, we don't know, why she was killed or why she had to die. Now, some people said that Villanelle was just doing that to get her psychotic killing spree-ness out. Others said that maybe it was to further widen the separation between Eve and Nico. I think Villanelle was really hoping that Nico and Gemma were going to be a thing eventually by then. And when she didn't get the answer that she expected from them, when she heard that Nico was like, no, I don't love Gemma, I still love Eve, she didn't like that. And she didn't like that just because, I mean, she's a psychopath and she's an assassin. Okay, cool. But I do think that she killed Gemma because Gemma has seen her a couple times now and she recognized her. I think it's dangerous for people to know and recognize who Villanelle is. And it's somewhat of a liability. If you remember in season 1, when Villanelle had killed the first guy that Eve and her MI6 group had to find out about the politician and his like Russian or Polish girlfriend or something like that. And the Polish girlfriend did actually get to see Villanelle and remembered her a bit. Then the 12 had ordered Villanelle to kill this woman too. It's because it's not a good thing for people to know who Villanelle is. That's why I think she killed Gemma more than anything. I don't think she killed Gemma to just kill people for no reason. But I do think that she also wanted Nico to just really be done with Eve. So there you go. I want your recipe to your shepherd's pie. Another thing I thought that was very interesting, I found Eve's character to be kind of all over the place for me this season. And in a way, I mean, we first see her grappling with the fact that she may have killed Villanelle in Paris. And then she tries to go on with her life as though nothing happened. And then she tries to fight for her normal life with Nico. Like she's chasing after him and trying to win him back or something. And then she ends up sleeping with Hugo later in the season. I mean, I don't know. I think these are a lot of twists and turns. Is Eve trying to stay as normal that she thinks that she needs to stay? Or is she kind of getting into that dark side that we want her to? Because it's, I mean, the show. It's a lot. And finally, Carolyn hires a psychotherapist who is an expert in psychopaths to determine if Eve is mentally stable enough to handle this job in working alongside Villanelle or working to entrap her or something. The expert eventually tells Carolyn no, that I don't think Eve is right for this job. I think she is too close to Villanelle and he doesn't recommend it. And Carolyn just walks away. It's as though Carolyn definitely is hinting to us at that moment that she would rather sacrifice those in the way of getting the ultimate ending that she's striving for, or that she considers the people that she loses along the way as collateral damage. And I do like Carolyn, mind you. I may even like Carolyn more than I like Eve, but I think this goes to show that she's not a good character. She's not a good guy in the show. And she's willing to cover up the mistakes from At My Six and bad shit that happens at their hands to eventually get what she wants out of it. Now, these were my favorite parts of season two. Number one, my favorite scene in season two had to be that hotel scene with Constantine coming to pick up Villanelle just in time before they get caught by Eve and MI6. Villanelle is wearing probably my favorite outfit in the whole series, and I just can't stand it. She looks amazing and it's just a really funny, intense scene. Number two, even though I don't encourage this kind of behavior, I liked the phone sex moment with Villanelle, Eve, and then Eve doing things with Hugo during the end of the season or whatever. Do I think it was random? Yes. Did I mind it? No. And number three, I would say all of the scenes where Eve and Villanelle are working together, like right outside of the rehab, or when Eve and Villanelle are in the middle of the woods trying to interrogate the other assassin. I think that all of the scenes are very playful, very twisted. And something that a friend of mine said recently is that not a lot is happening in those scenes. Like they could be in the kitchen talking and yet nothing much is happening, but the scenes are so interesting and so entertaining because the two actors are just so good and they have really good chemistry. Now, in my season one analysis, the question if this show is guilty of queerbaiting came up, and I thought, well, how about I do this for every single season? So I'm posing the question again, is season two of Killing Eve guilty of queerbaiting? And for those that need a refresher, queerbaiting is defined as a marketing technique used to attract queer viewers that involves creating romantic or sexual tension between two same-sex characters, but never making it canon or evolving on it. I don't think season one was guilty of queerbaiting because, like I said in that episode, Villanelle is a queer character who has genuine feelings for Eve. And Eve, even though it's really twisted and fucked up, she also reciprocates these feelings, but she is older, she's more mature, she's married. And can you even imagine putting yourself in a situation where you may have feelings romantically for a psychopath assassin? I mean, Villanelle is a fucking psychopath and she's a killing machine. I mean, do you want to willingly throw away your life to be with someone like that? I think it's very valid that things aren't aren't happening as quickly between the two of them. And for season two, we don't get as much queer baiting as we did last season. I think we see the two of them working together, and although Villanelle flirts incessantly with Eve, nothing much happens except for that phone sex scene near the end of the season. And I think Villanelle knows how to turn on that switch for Eve to act out. But so far in these past two seasons, we haven't seen Eve fully commit to like a romantic relationship or have these romantic notions really for Villanelle yet. Alani Vargas from CheatSheet.com wrote an interesting article on queerbaiting and killing Eve, and I've put it in the show notes so you can go check it out. I highly recommend this article. It's very thorough. There are spoilers of season three in there as well. So if you haven't watched season three, maybe watch that one first before going into the article. Warning you. To watch season two of Killing Eve, it is available to stream on Hulu if you're in the US, or go to BBC and stream it internationally. So thank you again for listening to Movies a la Queer. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, follow on Instagram and TikTok for the latest news, updates, and to submit film requests or show requests. I definitely want to see more. I think it's getting harder and harder to fit things in everyone's schedule, but I am always looking for new material to look at. And even if it's just for entertainment purposes, entertain me, I beg of you. Also, please leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever that you listen to Movies a la Queer. This would make Movies a la Queer so much easier to find for anyone who's searching for it. This is Sarita Ramirez. Stay safe, warm, cool, wherever you are on the planet. And I'll see you next week with another episode. Bye.